This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by AgriEdge Excelsior from Syngenta for resourceful growers seeking to enhance productivity. It's another chilly one out there this morning, and we're starting to get a better handle of just what might be coming our way at the end of the week weather-wise. Well, we will find out if the guys on today's Farmer Forum are getting tired of the January-like temperatures here at the end of November.
From the studios of Farm Journal Broadcast, this is AgriTalk, agriculture's national talk show since 1994. Here's your host, Chip Flory.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for joining us again this morning. Welcome to AgriTalk. Man, I'm looking forward to today's show. We've got an excellent Farmer Forum coming your way. Randy Ermacher from Nebraska, Ted Hamer from Iowa, and Charlie Cruz from Missouri. They'll be checking in with us in just a bit. We'll get some final harvest reports, and we'll talk about some of the issues that I think are at the top of the priority list for the commodity groups out there right now. I mean, things like fake meat. We talked with Daniel Beck from National Cattlemen's Beef Association yesterday about the oversight of fake meat. We're going to talk about ethanol blending waivers for Chevron. Believe that or not, a broken down trade with China. You know, the really fun stuff to talk about. No, that's not the fun stuff. Okay, then let's talk about some of the decisions that the guys are going to be making as we head into the final month of the year, and the things that are going to influence those decisions, the crop mix for the year ahead, keeping those operating expenses in check, and some of the moves that they're making on the risk management side right now. I mean, look at what we've done. Look at what we've done with bean prices here just the last 2 days. We have gone from a price in new crop beans that we thought, oh, gosh, nobody wants to start selling new crop bean prices here, to all of a sudden, here we are back up around 940. That could be an opportunity right there for a lot of guys. And, of course, I want to talk about some local issues, the issues that the guys are having to deal with. That might be unique to their areas. There's always plenty to talk about with Randy from Nebraska, Ted from Iowa, and Charlie from Missouri. So looking forward to the conversation with them. Of course, want you to be part of the conversation as well. Give us a call today. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. If you'd rather let us know what you're thinking via Twitter, just include hashtag AgriTalk so that I'll be sure to see it. Right now, let's bring in Clinton Griffiths, get an update on what's going on with the news. What's happening, man?
Not much. I think you probably say those numbers in your sleep.
What?
The 855-4-TALK-AG.
No, I still got to have them written down. Honestly. You know, there's other more important numbers.
Well, that's true. You know what's funny, Chip, is I remember as a kid, going back in my day, let's start a story there. Back in my day when I was walking uphill both ways to school in the snow,
sure.
We used to memorize phone numbers.
Oh, yeah.
I knew everybody's number. In fact, still know most of those numbers from back in the day. But
absolutely.
I haven't memorized a phone number, including my office phone number,
probably
8 years.
No, I'll admit I do know my number, but if I've got to remember my wife's phone number, that's a stretch. Yeah.
Well, that might be something you ought to commit to memory there, Chip. I'm just saying.
You think?
Yeah, well, it is a season.
Okay. All right. You know, there's a lot going on this morning.
All right, let's get to some news, okay? So let's start with news from the EPA. EPA coming out saying it will not adjust final RFS levels because of those smaller refinery waivers. The agency now set to finalize its RFS levels for 2019. Reports are that biofuel is going to come in at 19.9 billion gallons, about the same mark the agency proposed earlier this year. 15 billion gallons of that will go for conventional ethanol. Biodiesel in 2020, EPA is expecting to come in at 2.43 billion gallons. But, Chip, really the big news here is on those waivers and the administration making some notes about that today.
Yeah, you know, but that's backwards looking, okay?
True.
The comments regarding the waivers that have already been issued is backwards looking. If we look forward now, the Trump administration just this morning, this is according to a report on Reuters, just this morning the Trump administration told the EPA Administrator Wheeler to not issue any additional waivers you know, those small refinery hardship waivers, whatever you want to call them, not to issue any more of those waivers in 2019 because they want to reevaluate the process.
Well, that's big news for the...
I think this is huge news. Number one, it's the Trump administration saying, listen, you guys aren't doing this right. You need to clean it up and you need to do it right. So I'm thinking that EPA Administrator Wheeler probably went back and said, you know what? The way that things were handled in 2018, that's not really living up to the letter of the law. Going forward, we need to follow the letter of the law, which is, if they do that, I think that's really good news. Really good news for the ethanol industry. And you know what, Clinton?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the ethanol industry needs some good news because margins have really tightened up.
They sure have, and especially given the price of fuel, crude oil, all that starting to impact. You know, and as I wrote a story about this yesterday talking with one of our analysts on the show, you know, that can impact basis going into January, February, March because they're not needing to pull that grain out of storage.
Right. If all of a sudden we see in the poor margins that the ethanol producers are dealing with right now, you're all of a sudden it's not going to be like the steam's going to stop coming out of the out of the pipe. Okay, they're going to continue to run. It's just that they're going to scale things back as much as they possibly can to limit the losses that they might be experiencing out there. As soon as you put a plus back onto those margins and things start to turn around, I'll guarantee that they're going to fire back up and start running at full efficiency or as close to full efficiency and capacity as they possibly can.
Yep. Some of that could come from an agreement with China. If we get maybe some exports fired back up, the president saying, however, yesterday that he's expecting to put more tariffs on imports from China, talking tough ahead of these conversations in Buenos Aires at the G20 summit in Argentina this week. The president saying in an interview with The Wall Street Journal that, quote, it's highly unlikely he would accept a request to hold off on boosting tariff levels on $200 billion in Chinese goods up to 25%. But he did have this to say.
I mean, it could happen. We have a good relationship.
What do you think?
It is what the bottom line is. China has to treat us fairly. They haven't been. They have to treat us fairly.
China saying Tuesday it hopes to work with the U.S. toward positive outcomes at this meeting. The two presidents expected to meet Saturday at Buenos Aires and have dinner there. China's foreign ministry spokesperson saying the economic working group for both sides are in communication ahead of the meeting. And analyst Bill Biederman says he thinks this meeting is going to be big.
Clinton, I think this is the biggest meeting that I can remember in my 40 years of doing this and the impact that it could have on agriculture. And I think it could have a long-term impact on agriculture. So it's a really scary thing to go into because everybody is gambling on this, whether you're long in the bin or you bought it on the board or if you sold it. You're gambling because, you know, I mean, maybe they'll have an agreement and the market will go up.
Or, Chip, maybe they won't have an agreement and the market goes down.
Right. I think there's a little the people that have contact to the inside and you got to kind of pick and choose which people you're going to listen to.
Sure.
They are starting to show just a little bit more optimism than what they were even at the start of the week, that something positive will come out of the meeting between Trump and Xi. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Clinton.
You bet.
All right. Coming up, we got the Farmer Forum. We got Randy from Nebraska, Ted from Iowa, and Charlie from Missouri coming up next right here on AgriTalk.
It's Digging Deeper with the Mosaic Company, the show where two agronomy experts take your questions about crop nutrition. Here are your hosts, Kurt Woolfolk and Ross Bender, senior agronomists from the Mosaic Company.
Hi, this is Kurt.
And this is Ross. And today we're answering the questions you sent us on social media.
Here's one from a corn grower in Iowa. As I plan for next season, what product would you recommend to increase yield next year?
Every crop stands to benefit from better nutrient management, especially phosphorus and sulfur. For example, Micro Essentials is a fertilizer source that contains phosphorus sulfur, and we know it works because it helps provide uniform nutrient distribution, increased nutrient uptake, and season-long availability.
We have up to 12 years of data that suggests that yield of 7.2 with Micro Essential SZ compared to traditional fertilizer sources, and the yield speaks for itself.
Fertility is the foundation for high yields, and this is the new frontier of dry fertilizer.
Have any questions you want Kurt and Ross to tackle? Tweet to us at Micro Essentials on Twitter or send us a message on Facebook. And to learn more about smart crop nutrition, visit microessentials.com.
Spray nozzles are some of the smallest and most overlooked pieces of equipment on a sprayer, but they can have the biggest impact on accuracy, efficiency, and drift potential. Worn nozzles can change distribution patterns and cause under or over application, potentially impacting your bottom line. Now's a great time to replace your worn nozzles. Save 10% on John Deere spray nozzles, only available at your local John Deere dealer. Offer ends February 28th, 2019. See your participating dealer for details.
Growers face enough worries today. SDS and nematodes shouldn't be among them. Alevo seed treatment from BASF is the only product that offers effective protection against both SDS and nematodes throughout the critical growing period. Growers get amazing early season protection for stronger profit potential at harvest. So worry about weather. Don't worry about SDS or nematodes with Alevo. To find out more about Alevo and how to protect your soybeans, talk to your seed dealer or your BASF rep. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
One of the key missions of Syngenta is to help growers not only increase their return on investment, but also their sustainability and to enable them to show proof of it downstream. The Sustainable Solutions arm of the Digital Ag Solutions team handles that mission. We're joined now by Jackie Davis, the technical data lead for the Digital Ag Solutions team. Jackie, outside of providing growers with digital tools to help grow and track their sustainability, what else does your team provide?
We also provide analysis that not only goes back to the grower as analytical insights, but also can be aggregated up to a downstream partner. So when we have needs around, you know, a General Mills or a Kellogg's that want to talk about sustainable sourcing, we actually have data and a story to provide them around their sourcing area.
For more information on sustainable solutions, head over to syngentaus.com/sustainable solutions.
You're listening to AgriTalk, 1 hour every day, just ag. It's all we do. Join the conversation.
Hey, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Okay, Clinton and I were talking about some of the things with the RFS and everything, and I want to talk with the guys on the forum about it here in just a second. But just to let you know how the markets are reacting to it, we do have corn up about a nickel right now. These contracts up 4.5 cents, but when you look out at the March, May, July, we're all up at least a nickel. You get a little bit further out, and the gains are a little bit softer than that, 3.5 to 4.5 cents. Soybeans. Okay, this isn't really the RFS issue. This is more about some optimism developing over the trade talks between President Trump and President Xi over the weekend. We've got bean prices 16 to 18 cents higher. And wheat, for some reason, is actually participating with soybeans today. Wheat and soybeans this week so far have been trying to trade in opposite directions, but today we've got some strength going in the wheat market. Not a lot, but we are seeing some higher prices there. Hard red winter wheat futures, KC futures, are leading the way to the upside there. Cattle trade is steady to slightly higher. Feeder cattle trade steady to slightly lower, and very mixed, very little movement in the lean hog market today. All right, let's get to the farmer forum. Let's bring in Randy Urmacher from Nebraska. Randy, how are you today, buddy?
Pretty good, Chip. How are you?
Good, good, good. You know, I'm sorry, I got to do this because, it's got to be the joke going forward. You do have the office door closed.
It's open, but Kathy's gone.
Okay. All right.
We're good.
Good deal. Good deal. She's gone for now. Where do you stand? Are things wrapped up?
Yeah, we wrapped up harvest. I think it was November 13th. It was a long one. You know, we started September 16th, so we were all ready to be done. would have liked to have gotten the field to start doing some strip till, but the weather just did not cooperate. It's either too muddy or the ground's frozen.
Yeah. Yeah, it is surprising how cold how quickly the ground firmed up and took the opportunity to get some fall field work done. It took the opportunity away from us, didn't it?
Yeah. The last day we harvested, I think it got down to around 9 that night. So the guys, we were on a field that was a little more rolling, and the guys around the auger wagon was complaining that they couldn't get any bite on the dirt because it was froze, you know, pulling the wagons up the hill. So usually it's mud, but this time it was ice.
Yeah. Over in my part of the world where I grew up, when it gets like that, you don't want to catch yourself, you know, going across that hillside, because you can find yourself sliding down the hill pretty quick when it gets like that. So,
yeah.
All right, let's bring in Charlie Cruz from Missouri. Charlie, it's good to talk with you again. How you doing today?
Good, Chip. How you doing?
Doing just fine, just fine. What's on your mind these days?
Well, it was interesting to hear Randy talk about the harvest being long. It's been long here in the Boot Hill, Missouri, too. We start shelling corn usually around the 20th of August, and there's still a few soybeans left in the field, and maybe just a little bit of cotton, which is abnormal for this year. But most of the crop's out. It just, as Randy said, it's been a long harvest. We couldn't get the moisture down on soybeans for some reason. You'd look at them from the road, and you'd think they would be 10, 11, 12%, and you'd check them, and they'd be 16 and 17, and they just wouldn't dry down. So a lot of soybeans run through with low heat on dryers this year, but thankfully we're done and everybody's pretty well wrapping it up.
Good deal, good deal. So what were the corn and soybean yields down your way, Charlie?
Well, the yields overall are really good, Chip. I live in Stoddard County, Missouri, down in the Boot Hill, and we have more acres under irrigation in Stoddard County than any of the other counties in the state of Missouri. We've got 114 counties, and so we're very blessed. Our water table is about 10 feet, and ground's really flat. Most of the land is flood irrigated, and corn, soybeans, rice, all good yields. Cotton yields were just phenomenal this year. When I started farming, if you made a bale of cotton to the acre, you were really hitting a home run. And this year, there was a lot of 3-bale cotton, and there was a fair amount of 4-bale cotton, which, you know, a few years ago, you would never hear of those kinds of yields. So overall, the yields were pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I got to ask, have the mallards made their way down there yet?
Well, they finally did it. You know, it was warm for so long, but we've really, you know, I can't compete with Randy on that 9 degrees, but our wind chill's been about 21 the last few mornings, and the ducks are down, and they're doing a lot of flying now. It took them a while to get here, but they're here now.
Yeah. All right, Charlie, we'll get back to you here in just a bit. Ted Hamer up in Northeast Iowa. How are you this morning, Hamer?
No, I'm good. How are you, Chip?
Doing just fine, just fine. So you got things wrapped up, right?
Yeah, the day before Thanksgiving. We finished about 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yep. And how did the yields hold? Because, you know, we've talked about a long harvest for Randy, for Charlie. It was a long harvest for you as well. Did that crop, both corn and soybeans, did they hold on to the yields that you were seeing at the start of the year?
Well, I would say yes. You know, you obviously knew there was some loss out there because some of the stalks broke off. You couldn't get underneath every single stalk out there and get that ear picked up. And then in the beans, as you were driving along, you definitely could see beans on top of the ground that, you know, pods opened up a little bit while with those heavy rains, and, you know, beans were on. So I know we lost yield. I'd say on the beans, I'm guessing probably 2 bushel the acre after those big heavy rains. And corn, I don't know if I could really put a number on it, but, you know, our early corn that we harvested early was really good. And then, you know, you were hoping it would go up from there, and it really never did.
Yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha. Let's talk a little bit about cash market, and we'll stay with you, Ted, because the basis levels up in Northeast Iowa. They're really, I don't want to call them great, but they are better than what I expected them to be at this time of the year with all the corn that we've got. What is going on there?
Well, you know, that's what we keep seeing. You know, Caleb keeps telling me every day that, hey, Shell Rock, Flint Hills, they tighten their bases. They tighten their bases, and you keep thinking, I thought the ethanol guys were having trouble making margins, so how in the world are they, why do they keep pushing it? And I think a lot of it, at least in our area, probably has to do with the poor yields coming out of northern Iowa, southern Minnesota. I think they're trying to grab hold of the corn base that they can grab a hold of right now before, you know, I head off for Cedar Rapids instead of going to Shell Rock.
Yeah. So, Randy, what's your corn basis doing over there? Because your markets, you've got ethanol demand in your area as well, but a lot of yours is going straight into the feed market, right?
Yeah, I mean, they go either feed or ethanol here out of the bins, and we actually hauled some to the ethanol plant and feed yards straight out of the field this year, too. The basis is improving. There's some pretty good basis offerings going into the plant here, the ethanol plants for December. I think they try and get guys to move a little bit of corn before the first of the year. It helps entice them. But, beginning of harvest, our basis levels were just terrible. And they've constantly firmed up here in the last, month or so. It's basically all a wash for paying storage or the basis level increases, so it's not really costing anything to leave it in the elevator at this point with the basis level firming up.
Okay. Charlie, down there, that export market has probably got to have a big impact on what your bean basis is, doesn't it?
Well, it does, Chip, and of course, you know, I'm about, where I live and farm is about 25 miles from the Mississippi River, and we've got several big elevators there, and it's been kind of up and down. The basis has firmed some on both corn and beans at the river, and we've got a big Tyson poultry plant here locally that feeds a whole lot of corn, and that's always a good marketplace. So, you know, the basis is better now than it was, obviously. I mean, through harvest, the basis always widens out, but the basis has gotten better here the last several days.
Yeah. You know, guys, I think it's so interesting that we're already starting to see this improvement in the basis, because, I'm one of those guys that believes that there is the futures market and the cash market are two different things, and the futures market is limited in what it can handle out there and sort out. The cash market, what it has to handle is unlimited. And I think the cash market is doing a pretty nice job reflecting those lower than expected yields out of northern Iowa, southern Minnesota, reflecting the good demand at the feedlots down there. And of course, like Charlie's talking about, diverting some of those, that bean demand out there this year. I think the cash market's doing a bang up job of reflecting the issues that we're talking about. Hey, let's get ready to talk about some fake meat. Would you try it?
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Don't miss your chance to win one of two brand new John Deere Gators during the Valent Fully Loaded Sweepstakes. The 2019 John Deere Gator is the ultimate utility vehicle for getting things done. Fast, powerful, and capable of handling payloads up to 1,500 pounds, the John Deere Gator works just as hard as you do. Enter for a chance to win now at ValentFullyLoaded.com. That's ValentFullyLoaded.com. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Ends March 10, 2019. See official rules for details at ValentFullyLoaded.com.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
And joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, at the start of the last segment, I went ahead and told guys that we were looking at bean prices that were 16 to 18 cents higher, but here we are. We're backing away from that.
Yeah, we backed off a little bit. We're still showing gains of about 11 to 13 cents in most of the contracts. So a good solid day, especially when you combine it with yesterday. And we've more than regained what we lost on Monday. And I think that, you know, this increased volatility, the uncertainty heading into the trade talks this weekend between Trump and China's president just continues. But we had news this morning that EPA has frozen the Trump administration has frozen EPA's small refinery exemptions as they review that process. And I think that, you know, that's helping the soy oil market this morning. It's helping the corn market this morning. And just kind of everything is, you know, in a better tone because of that.
Yeah. You know, the ethanol industry needed some good news, Brian. And as far as I can tell, this is good news.
It is good news, and you know, all the talk here recently has been eroding margins and production's going to slide and that type of thing. And those small refinery exemptions have been a major concern, and so we got news on, positive news on that front. The weekly ethanol production actually rose, and that's a friendly surprise there. So you know, it's just all kind of coming together so far today.
Yeah, that is really good news. Good news all the way around. Not much going on in livestock trade.
Really quiet. Both live cattle and lean hog futures are narrowly mixed and just holding near unchanged so far this morning.
Got it. Thanks, buddy. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Win a Ford F-150 Raptor in the Ag Explorer Truck Sweepstakes. Enter at trucksweeps.com.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk and the Farmer Forum, everybody. We've got Randy Ermacher from Nebraska, Ted Hamer from Iowa, Charlie Cruz from Missouri. Guys, yesterday on the afternoon show on ATB, After the Bell, we were talking about, with Phil Conrad from Tradus LLC, we're talking about that sweet spot. What is the corn price that would get guys to open up the bin and start to move some corn? Now, Kyle Wendland, a listener, friend up in Northeast Iowa, put together a poll out on Twitter. That doggone poll's already got over 950 responses to it, and it's got just a few hours left on it. But Kyle put these prices out there. $3.50, $3.60, $3.75, and $3.90 plus to get you to move corn in the next 60 days. As things stand right now, $3.50 would only get 12% of the guys to move corn. $3.60 would get another 13%. So 25% of the guys, by the time we get to $3.60, we're starting to move some corn. At $3.75, now it's starting to get a little more serious, 37%, but it's $3.90 plus before 38% of the respondents, of the 950-plus respondents, would start to move some corn. Randy, 390-plus, what do these guys want? Isn't that waiting too long?
Well, if you get some basis improvement and a little improvement on the futures side, it might not be out of the realm of possibilities here.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I guess I'd like to know, was that cash corn poll or
cash
was that
corn
futures?
Cash corn.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. 390 might be stretching it a little bit. You might want to be starting in that 375 neighborhood, in my opinion.
Yeah, Ted.
So.
Yeah. No, I'm probably going to go against the grain here. As long as we've got good tight bases here, I think I'm gonna send them some corn. I'm not afraid to do it at 350, and if we think it's going up from there, I'm gonna re-own it on paper somehow.
Okay. Yep. Yep. So you're grabbing the bases while you can get it.
Yep. Yep.
Well, that's how you have to market. You know, you have to market the basis, and you have to market the futures. And if you do the right thing on both of them, then you might get your 390.
Yeah, exactly. Then if you do the right thing on both sides, that's when you start calling it a winner. So, hey, Charlie, you've heard about the fake meat out there, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Would you eat it?
No, personally, Chip, I would not. I'm a huge fan of a really, really good steak or a really good hamburger and, you know, a great pork steak or ribs. I'm not interested in the fake meat. I know there are people that are, but in my view, they are really missing out on a great meal to sit down to.
Yeah. Yeah. Randy, would you try it?
I don't know. You know why?
That's my okay, that's a good question.
it's like, why do you want to ruin a good thing? I just don't understand where the market's going to be for this and what the thought process is behind it.
Yeah, Ted, what about you?
You know, if the chef comes out and says, "Hey, I've prepared this. I'd like you to try it," I'd probably try it, but I'm not going to order it.
Yeah. Here's what I'm thinking, guys. That first burger that they produced, I talked with Danielle Beck, the director of government affairs at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. I talked to her yesterday on AgriTalk, and she reminded me of some numbers on this that kind of jolted me a little bit. I think it was in 2013 when they made that first lab-grown hamburger, all right? It took them $500,000, $500,000 to make that one hamburger. But they were figuring out how to do it. They can now make a hamburger for $11. There are people out there that will, just for the sake of not... just for the sake of taking a shot at animal agriculture, we'll spend $11 on that hamburger and eat that rather than eat a traditionally produced hamburger. So here's my take. I want to be first in line. I want to take a bite of the thing. I want to know just how good it is, if it does measure up, where it does fall short. But, I've got my hand raised high. Put me first in line. Yeah.
You know, Chip, I've got a good friend who tried, it was fake meat. He tried a fake meat burger.
Really?
And just to try it, and he said it was really awful. But, you know, I'm sure, like you said, there are people out there that are willing to spend probably $15 or $20 for fake meat.
Right.
My view is there aren't that many of them, but there may be more than we think.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt. Hey, Randy, you heard the market update. Markets Now with Brian. We were talking about the Trump administration telling EPA, listen, hold off on issuing any more waivers out there until we reevaluate how this process is done. To me, that's a thank God moment for the ethanol industry, Randy.
Well, I think it is too, and I just don't get how all these waivers have gotten issued in the first place. You know, we had rules and some of the waivers you see that are being issued, it's like, man, that doesn't make any sense at all. And if President Trump's going to step in and stop these things, you know, all power to him. I'm all for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Ted, Chevron has got a small refinery someplace down in the Southwest. But it's a small refinery, but it's part of a huge business that's expected to have about $9 billion in profits in 2018. But they gave that small refinery for Chevron a hardship waiver. That's the kind of stuff that can't happen under the RFS.
Well, you know, you got to feel sorry for them. Is that all they're going to make? I mean, good grief. I understand it. They deserve a break. Good grief. I mean, those poor people. Gosh. I hope they can make it this year.
Yeah, yeah. I hope they can make it through. I hope they can make it through to 2019 and reevaluate at that point. But I think it is good news that we're seeing this because we've already talked about it a little bit when we were having the basis conversation. This ethanol industry does need some positive news right now because margins are tightened up. So it is good news that we are starting to see some progress there. Hey, here in about 20 minutes or so, Fed Chief Jay Powell is going to be making a speech out in New York. Man, Ted, he is catching a lot of heat from President Trump right now, saying that, you know, he doesn't think that he's doing a good job at all at running the Fed. But I don't think there's any fighting the fact that interest rates are pointed higher for 2019, right?
Oh, I think so. That's where they're going. That's what they've said, and they've pretty much stuck to it to this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, how is that? Make sure that people that aren't involved in farming, make sure that they understand exactly how that's going to impact you.
You know, I wanted to go, you know, you kind of mentioned that in the email you sent to us. Yeah. I kind of was looking at it from the land standpoint.
Okay.
And I was wondering, what's that going to do? I was just looking on the local bank here. They're offering 3.5% on a CD for $100,000. Is that going to change the people who have cash in their hands to go out and buy a farm now? Because maybe they can start to get a better return there than they can buying high-priced land right now. So is that going to soften the land market a little bit and get it back so the farmer is only competing against another farmer for that ground instead of, you know, having to compete with some of these investors? I'm not so sure that a little bit higher interest rate may not help us.
Charlie, what do you think of that?
Well, I have thought that interest rates were going to start going up, Chip, long before they did. And I'm just like y'all are talking, I think interest rates a year from now are going to be higher, 3 months from now or 4 months from now are going to be higher than they are now. You know, I'm old enough to remember 15-18% interest back in the early 80s, and that was a pretty tough hit. And don't get me wrong, I don't think we're anywhere close to that, but I think
right.
We're going to see an increase in interest rates. And I don't think the interest in land is going to slow down that much from people outside of agriculture. It might slow down a little bit, but I don't think we're going to see a big slowdown in the interest in land anytime real soon.
Yeah. Hey, Randy.
I was just going to say, Charlie, you misspelled 21% interest.
yeah, I was lucky, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Well, hey. I bought a new combine on a Friday, and on Monday the soybean embargo went in place, and so my timing was not really good.
Randy, one way that they're trying to hold the land prices down in your neck of the woods is you just tax it and tax it harder.
Oh, I know. It seems like a never-ending deal here. It's tax rates are so high, and the state of Nebraska has to figure something out, a better way, to fund some of these local, government agencies, you know, like the county government and your schools and stuff like that, because it's just breaking the landowner or anybody with any, you know, sizable chunk of real estate.
Yep, absolutely. All right, hey, when we come back, I want to talk about decisions that you've got to make between now and the end of the year and what those decisions are going to determine for 2019. And hey, these interest rates that we just talked about, is that going to have an impact on the decision-making process for 2019? We'll cover it next on AgriTalk.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Annalisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Annalisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Prepare for the future of ag technology at Farm Journal Media's Ag Tech Expo, December 3rd through the 5th in Indianapolis. Whether you're a novice or a tech-savvy early adapter, Ag Tech is your go-to source for the latest in the industry. Customize your event experience and gain a competitive edge with more than 25 educational breakout sessions focused on precision ag, using data, machinery and iron, and sustainable technology. Grower and retailer registrations only $99. Sign up today at www.farmjournalagtechexpo.com.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with ProFarmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Sure Start 2, Culex, Durango DMA, Classic.
More than 100 crop protection products.
Enserve, Ever Pre-X.
That's what's available to you through the all-new True Choice offer from Corteva Agriscience, the agriculture division of Dow DuPont.
Approach Prima, Sonic.
It's an offer simpler than saying all these names in 60 seconds.
Trivance, Realm Q.
Just buy Pioneer brand seed and Corteva cash is immediately put into your True Choice account at your crop protection retailer. No waiting, no rebate. Then you can put that Corteva cash towards more than 100 crop protection herbicides, insecticides, fungicides, and stabilizers. And as you can hear, there are a lot of options for you.
Open Sky, Elevore.
With True Choice, the only hard part is figuring out which of these products you want.
Perfect Match, Resicor, Instinct.
Ask your local Pioneer sales representative or your crop protection retailer about True Choice. New, simple, now.
I'm talking with Brad Walk of Seagull, Illinois, who tried Poncho Votivo 2.0 this growing season. Brad, is Poncho Votivo 2.0 going to be back on your farm again next year?
I plan to plant the Poncho Votivo 2.0 in 2019 because of the results from this year. Exceptional stalk health and yield. Comparing Poncho Votivo 2.0 to other varieties without it, I could see more girth in the ears. I could see kernel depth was a little better. We did have a yield trial on 8 rows, a quarter mile long, had an average of 302 bushels per acre on a independent weigh wagon, and those are dry bushels. And then we had a competitor that was 292.
Oh, okay, so you broke through 300 bushels with Poncho Votivo?
It's pretty crazy. It's just a great feeling. It's just, you've been working your whole life to try to hit that number. It's just always kind of felt like a, you know, something that may never happen. And this year it's opened up a lot of eyes.
So what about the kernel depth? That had to be the difference.
Oh, that's big. It's huge. It's the test weight really adds to the yield, and just the girth of the ear. The kernel depth is huge. So that just all adds up. You need all the help you can get to 300 bushels.
So how did Poncho Votivo 2.0 corn stand up to the weather that you had this year?
We've had several windstorms here. The stalks with Poncho Votivo 2.0 seem to be standing a lot better. In the combine, you can see down the row a good quarter mile, no stalk disintegration or cannibalism. It's just a good feeling to know that the combine's not going to have to slow down, and very hardy corn, good standability.
So how much are you going to plant next year?
Planting Poncho Votivo 2.0 this year, I've found at least a 10 bushel per acre difference. I mean, 10 bushels per acre, that's at least $35 an acre. That just carries over all the acres and really adds up. That's a huge benefit for our bottom line. Next year, I plan to plant nearly 100% of my acres in Poncho Votivo 2.0.
Get the Poncho Votivo 2.0 yield advantage for 2019. Talk to your BASF seed representative.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. It's a Farmer Forum. We've got Randy Ermacher from Nebraska, Ted Hamer from Iowa, and Charlie Cruz down in the boot heel of Missouri. Charlie, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about this, but I don't want to ignore it either. At DBN Farms tweeted at us, he says, are fake meat people the same as anti-GMO people? In other words, are the people that are accepting the technology behind fake meat the same people that are rejecting the technology behind genetic modification of the crops that we're growing out there? I haven't seen any solid evidence that they are, but I get what Darren's talking about. It tends to make sense, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, Chip. I haven't seen anything specific on that either, but my guess would be that there are a good number of people that are vigorously anti-GMO that are, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, anti-animal agriculture. And yep. I would say that's not the entire population of these folks, but I would say that the makeup certainly includes a fair number of them.
Well, the profile fits, doesn't it?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, on the interest rate conversation that we had at the end of the last segment, which I thought was great, when we think about it as it applies to operating loans and operating expenses out there, to Charlie's point, to Ted's point, and everybody's point, yes, these interest rates are a lot cheaper than what they were during the crisis in the leading up to the 80s, but it's all relative, isn't it, guys? I mean, if you're looking at 4% and it goes to 5%, you're looking at a 25% increase in your interest costs from 1 year to the next. So it's all relative, right?
Oh, I think that's right, Chip. I think there are a lot of people farming today, really sharp young people farming who have never experienced double digit interest rates, and I'm glad for that. We all are. But it certainly is something to consider, and it is absolutely a part of figuring out how you run your operation. But I think, as you say, I think it is all relative.
Yeah, Randy, you were going to jump in on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just another increase in our cost of production. I saw a tweet yesterday or day before, my new hobby is not paying interest. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but in the real world and in the environment we are in right now, you know, more likely if you're farming, you're paying some type of interest somewhere.
Yeah. Yep. Ted?
You said if it's relative, I hope it is, because as interest rates go up, I'm going to go to more relatives to see if they want to loan me any money.
You know, I'm checking the family tree right now. Don't come knocking on my door, dude.
it's 25%, but 4 to 4.5 or 4.5 to 5. Yeah. Isn't huge, and I'm probably not going to do something or not do something based on that 0.5% rise.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that's where I wanted to get to in this.
Yeah, a full 1% might get me to think, let's back off here.
Okay.
I think more long term, you know, as you're looking at, you know, doing equipment over 5 years and things like that, that probably is a little bit more where you pull the wheels back a little bit and say, do I really want to do that now?
Right. Right. Okay. Hey, I can't believe we're coming up to the end of it, and I want to make sure that we get this in. Randy, what's going on down there, South Central Nebraska, that you think farmers, non-farmers, everybody else around the country needs to know about?
Well, or maybe what didn't go on, there wasn't very much field work done this fall, and it makes me wonder, you know, how many acres are going to be able to continue to the or switch back to the corn on corn. You know, it's just you don't get that fall field work done. It just puts a pinch on you in the spring, and guys may not be as willing to switch to
backed more corn, you know, with that reasoning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds to me like that's something that's weighing on your mind when it comes to the crop mix for 2019.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was talking to a guy last night and he said, you know, hardly any anhydrous got put on in the area. And guys that had contracts are having to cancel the contracts because they didn't get it on. And now the price of the stuff in the spring is going to be dramatically higher than what it would have been this fall.
Yep. What's going on down in the Boot Heel, Charlie?
You know, Chip, you said something involving agriculture or not involving agriculture.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, I live in Dexter, Missouri, a little town of 7,500 people. And for about the fifth year in a row on Veterans Day, well, actually the Friday before Veterans Day this year, our school had a Veterans Day event and had every child in our school from first grade through seniors in high school in a big auditorium.
Yeah.
And little kids waving American flags and just really touching. And then one other quick thing, our youngest granddaughter is a freshman in high school. She had about 20 of her friends the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving for what they call Friendsgiving. And I know they do this in other communities as well. But these kids, freshmen in high school, nobody told them to. Nobody said they needed to on their own. They just went around, and each one of them told the others in the group what they were thankful for. And, you know, you hear a lot of bad news, but there's a lot of good news out there we never hear.
Charlie, that's awesome stuff. Good stuff. Ted, can you top that?
I can't top it, but for the eighth year in a row, my wife has opened up our home on Friday and Saturday after Thanksgiving for graham cracker houses to be built. And this year there was a total of 27 made in our house.
Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Yep, and I've seen the pictures of those, Ted. That is quite the process. That's a manufacturing setup you guys have got set up down there. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today and making the time. I really appreciate it. Randy, thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, Charlie, we'll talk with you soon.
Okay, Chip, thanks.
All right, Ted, let's grab lunch sometime, man.
Yeah, but then you got to remember if you can't remember your wife's phone number, remember sometimes it's her birthday when we're going to go out and
eat too. That's right. We need to watch that. Thanks for joining us, guys. Hey, come back this afternoon for ATB. I've got Jamie Kawaki from Paragon Investments. And tomorrow on AgriTalk, Jeff Cooper from the RFA.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
We're live on the red carpet, waiting for the next generation Credenz soybean. There he is!
Oh, Ed, look! It's Credenz Liberty Link GT27!
I know, Adna! He's got elite genetics.
You gotta love his 4 bushel per acre yield advantage.
And he's both Liberty and glyphosate herbicide tolerant.
Definitely the year's hottest performer. Ask your Credenz retailer about the new Credenz Liberty Link GT27 soybeans.
Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Thanks to AgriEdge Excelsior for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer or Syngenta representative to connect with an AgriEdge specialist in your area.